the guy that put Long Beach on the map, along with Phil Traney. That is the king of Long Beach, one of the greatest columnists in LA sports history. You used to read him in the Herald Examiner and the Long Beach Press-Telegram. Now you hear him on the radio, and you heard him with Joe McDonald for many years, and part of the fabric of the LA sports scene. That's the one and only Doug Krikorian. Hi, Dougie.
How are you, David? Very nice. A lot of hyperbole there, but that's what...
Hyperbole? Please. I believe every word I said.
Yeah, well, thank you, David.
Well, you did buy me dinner. You almost bought me dinner last night, so that's part of the reason why I said it.
I just want to tell all my fans out there I'm still alive.
That's another reason why I brought you on the show. I wanted to prove to people that you are still living amongst the rest of us.
Well, I'll tell you something. All my people that I broke in with back in 1966, most of the people that I, you know, the older sports writers, John Hall died the other day, and all my, you know, Morton Moss and John Hall and Melvin Derslack and Jim Murray and all the guys that I knew, the older sports writers, they're all gone now.
What were the odds that you were
ones?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what were the odds on you outliving those guys?
Well, I was at least 10 or 15 years younger than them at the time. They were young at the time when I broke in. They were pretty young. Mel Derslack, I think, was only, 42, 43 years old. But, you know, now I'm 75, and the years go by. They really do.
Doug, you just mentioned those greats in L.A. sports writing. Sure. What was it like when you first broke in, going to the Dodger Stadium press box and being around those titans of writing?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, you know, when I was going to Fresno State, I idolized Jim Murray. I idolized Melvin Derslack and Bud Ferrillo. And, you know, Morton Moss was a great writer at the Examiner. And I looked up all these guys, you know, Hank Hollinsworth out in Long Beach. And it was unbelievable. In fact, it was unbelievable. In the summer of 68, David, I cannot believe that I took a road trip on the old prop jet of the Dodgers, the KO, back to New York. And sitting across from me were Ken Boyer and Don Drysdale. And, you know, you're talking a young kid. That was in those days, the writers would travel with the team. And it was unbelievable. It took 7 or 8 hours. I think it was 7 hours to get there. They had to land in Kansas City to get gas. And I remember getting there. And, you know, you're talking to a guy, a hayseed from Fresno, California, or a little town called Fowler. And we got in at 10 o'clock in New York City. And I looked around. I'd never been past, you know, out of California at the time. And looking at those big skyscrapers, I stayed up to 4 in the morning that time. It was unbelievable.
What was that plane ride like being across from a guy like Don Drysdale and Ken Boyer?
Well, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And actually, you know, it's funny. I wrote something sarcastic in that day's Herald Examiner.
Oh, not
and
you.
Big D said, that's the guy that wrote it. You know, someone told him I was the young writer. I took Bob Hunter's place. Bob, another great sports writer, was, you know, he covered the Dodgers from the time they got here in 1958. In fact, he covered the Los Angeles Angels going back to the 1930s. Hunter's in the course of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
So you wrote something sarcastic about Drysdale?
Yeah, I actually did. I already been with the Herald a few months. And, he said something to Ken Boyer. He said, that's the guy that wrote this. I can't remember what I wrote. I wrote some ridiculous thing out of them.
Doug, before you started being one of the best columnists in LA sports, you were a beat writer for the Rams and the Lakers, and there's an infamous story about Isaiah Robertson chasing you around Rams practice. And I'm curious, baseball players can be a little bit more prickly than football or basketball guys. Did you have any type of contentious relationship with a baseball player on the Dodgers like you did with some of the Rams?
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, I was cussed out by the best of them. Isaiah Robertson in 1978 at the Ram training camp out in Fullerton cussed me out, I swear to God, every day. Called me MF, this and that. And I look at him, and if they just laugh at him, just unbelievable. But the most scared I ever was, ironically, and he's a friend of mine, you know, he got mad at me. Do you remember I can't remember. It was a baseball strike. I think it was 81 or 80 or 82.
Yeah, 81.
Yeah, and I wrote in the Los Angeles Herald Examiner a column on the front page what all these ball players would be if they weren't baseball players. I was ripping the strike or whatever. I can't remember. And one of the players, Steve, I says he'd be pumping gas at a big truck stop out in the San Fernando Valley or something. And the next time I went to Dodger Stadium, if they start playing again, he got me in, and I was by myself in Tom Lasorda's office, and he called me every name. It was the first time I actually put my fist up. I thought this guy's going to, you know, and he'd have beat the hell out of me, probably. You know, Steve's a tough guy.
Was it Steve Sachs?
I was scared. I'm being really honest with you. I was scared, and, you know, I'm a guy to box a little bit, but no, I was scared. I thought that guy was going to kill me.
Are you saying that Steve Sachs, you were concerned that he was going to physically punch you?
I don't know. He did. For some reason, I got scared. I'm being honest with you. Yeah, I did. And we laugh about it now, you know. And I remember one time Tim Belcher got mad at me. Who else? I had several. Reggie Smith in Phoenix was in the bus. He was mad at something I wrote. I don't know. And all these guys became my friends later on, you know. And that's the way it goes.
That's the great Doug Krikorian, and I don't need to say anything else. You hear his voice, and you know it instinctually. And, Doug, I'm curious. I mentioned this to Bob Nightingale last week. I feel like people in Los Angeles are taking for granted the string of success the Dodgers have had here the last 6 or 7
right.
years. I know they haven't won the World Series, but is this one of the best runs the Dodgers have had since being in Los Angeles as far as winning and success goes?
Well, they've had a couple of great runs. You recall from 1959 until 1966, they won 3 world championships and 4 pennants. So they had a good run there. And then with Tommy Lasorda, you know, they were in the World Series and lost. By the way, they lost the World Series to the Yankees in 77 and 78, as you recall. They had some good teams then. But it's been terrific the last few years. I mean, they won pennants. And unfortunately, they went up, you know, this year against the Boston Red Sox are one of the best teams, and I think the best baseball team in Major League Baseball since the 1998 New York Yankees. You know, they were terrific and swept. I believe they swept the San Diego Padres in 4 straight. That was a great Yankee team. I covered that, and they just it was unfortunate this year. And I thought they should have won last year against the Astros and. Unfortunately, you know, that 7th game, their pitcher wasn't very good. But and
yeah,
I thought
no
they
kidding.
Should have started. I thought they should have started Kershaw. That you know, at least have him go for 5 or 6 innings. But they didn't. But it's been a good team. It's been entertaining. They're, what do they average? 46,000 fans a game. And
yeah,
been
they've
a lot of
drawn.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, they're sold out every night. 3 million fans for, what, 7 straight years now? With the way some teams, you go to Cincinnati, you go to Miami, I think people don't realize how fortunate they are to have the support from the fans here in Los Angeles.
And they win, I mean, let's face it, they won the National League pennant. I mean, a lot of teams lose in the World Series. You know, the 1921-22 Yankees with Babe Ruth lost in the World Series. People don't – of course, you don't remember that one, but I do, you know.
Yeah, you were covering Babe back then, right?
No. By the way, I read a great book on Babe Ruth by Jane Levy. It was fantastic. It wasn't so much his life. It was about the background and, you know, his touring around America and Japan. And a great book. Anyone likes baseball, you should read that book.
I've heard great things about it too, Doug. Okay, now, before we go any further, last night at Phil Traney's, we talked about the Hall of Fame and how Harold Baines was basically gifted a pass to Cooperstown. I want to know the 3 Dodgers that are not in the Hall of Fame right now that you believe should be in Cooperstown way ahead of Harold Baines.
Well, number one, of course, is Maury Wills. He changed the fabric of baseball during his reign with the Dodgers. My God, 1962, he was the number one athlete in America. There was no one bigger ever in Los Angeles than Maury Wills. Go, go, go. He stole 104 bases, broke Ty Cobb's lengthy stolen base records. He has Phil Rizzuto's in a Hall of Fame, and Maury Wills isn't. 13 years, 2000, I think he has 2,100 base hits, batted 282, won 3 world championships and 4 pennants during his, I believe he was with the Yankees, or the Dodgers 8 seasons, 8 or 9 seasons. great debate. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He changed the way baseball was played, David. And, of course, the other two players is Steve Garvey should be in it. I mean, why wouldn't he be in it? Dude, if Harold Baines could get in the World Series, how could Steve Garvey, who five times knocked in 200 runs, and he had 200 base hits five times. He had over 2,000, I think he had 2,529 base hits in his career, great career. And Gail Hodges, why wouldn't he be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I know Vin Scully.
For years.
Vin Scully told me many times that he believes Gil Hodges should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, Vin Scully thinks Gil Hodges should be in there. He should be in there.
Well, there's a lot of players. The great, the most prolific batsman in the history of the sport isn't in there. Pete Rose. I don't care about the damn gambling. He never fixed the game. He never bet against his team. And that's so many years ago. I mean, how could someone be so zealously pious? The guy had 4,000. What do you have? 4,360. I don't know. I mean, he's the greatest batsman in history. And how could Clemens and Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame, and Harold Baines is? You got to be kidding.
I know the Hall of Fame is starting to become somewhat comical. Yeah, yeah. Do you have votes, Doug? Do you have a vote?
Yeah, I've been voting for years, but I don't vote anymore since. You know, the way they rejected Maury Wills really upsets me, because I was the advocate going back when I was even writing to the Herald Examiner. I've written probably 10 columns on Maury over the years, both at the Examiner and the Press Telegram, and, you know, on the radio, I always had him on. It's ridiculous. How can he not be in the Hall of Fame? Look at his record. Bill Mazeroski, who hit one glorious home run, that's fine. You know, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. An Angel fan should be enraged right now. Why isn't Garrett Anderson in the Hall of Fame? And Harold Baines, his stats are just better than Harold Baines in a lot of ways.
Well, before Garrett Anderson, Gary Sheffield should be in there as well. 500-plus home runs. It just doesn't make sense.
Why not Gary?
How about Jeff Kent? Right. How is Jeff Kent not in the Hall of Fame, Doug?
Because the writers didn't like him. I mean, let me tell you something. I'm a baseball writer. They're so zealously pious. Oh, geez, Clemens and Bonds cheated. Oh, what about the okay, the way the game was played then, with the old guys doing steroids, 80% of games, like Canseco said, they were all doing it. And Barry Bonds happened to be the best player in baseball even before he hit 40 home runs before he ever touched a steroid. He was a great player. For him not to be in the Hall of Fame, I mean,
are you against putting that on their plaque in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah,
or how should they handle it?
They
because it seems like nobody knows how to handle this.
I don't know. They were great baseball players. I saw with my own eyes. One time I was in the office with Mike Socia. He says, there's never been a batsman like it, whatever he took before he was great. And, of course, the storage turned him into a monster. But the guy was still... You know, okay, do people censure Arnold Schwarzenegger? His whole career is built on steroids, you know, when he got bigger than all the other guys. They all did it.
Well, if you're going to talk about Bonds and Clemens, there's no reason why Mark McGwire shouldn't be in there either. If you believe that those two should be in.
Of course he should. You know, I'm telling you, I'm just not that pious. Oh, my God, they did steroids. It was illegal, this or that. Well, please.
Doug, I'm curious. You mentioned that you stopped voting for the Hall of Fame. What was it how many years ago was it, and what was the line for you where you just stopped voting and felt like it was becoming something of
When Wills got rejected again, I think it was, what, 2-3 years ago, and I said, the hell with it. I was mad about not Pete Rose. How could they not put Pete in there? The guy was the most competitive. The two most competitive baseball players I've ever seen with my own eyes were Pete Rose and Maury Wills. And neither one of them in the Hall of Fame and deserve. Well, why is Phil Rizzuto in the Hall of Fame? Because he played with the New York Yankees? He's good shortstop. He had the impact on baseball that Maury Wills did? It's ridiculous.
Well, that's why I put you on the show, Doug. We miss this. We miss everything that you had to say. And, oh, man, the passion is still alive. I love it.
Yeah, well, you got me on a subject that I am very passionate about. I mean, the Wills thing is absolutely ridiculous. Pete Rose will die without being in the Hall of Fame. The most prolific batsman.
Well, that's the saddest part, Doug. That's the saddest part. Just like Ron Santo, all he wanted was to be in the Hall of Fame. And then once he passes away, they put him in the Hall.
Yeah, they put him in the Hall, and they'll do that to Pete one day.
Maury too.
All I wanted to know about Pete Rose, did he do anything to affect the outcome of a game negatively? It's not like he cheated. I mean, okay, he bet. Okay, he had a betting problem. I once had a betting problem, so I could empathize with him. You know, the fact, well, I know. I was at many racetrack and different places with Pete over the years, or boxing matches. Pete, to this moment, somewhere, is laying a price on the football games this weekend. You know that.
Doubling down. I heard he had the over on how many years you would live, and he's made a lot of money this weekend in Vegas.
It stuns me that I made it this long. It really does. It's a crazy.
You look great, too. How much are you bench pressing now, Doug? How much do you bench press
nothing,
now?
Nothing. No, I got two bum shoulders. I don't even know. No, I just do. I do basically waist work and a couple bicep and triceps, and, you know, I do a lot of waist work, and I do an hour on the bicycle every day.
Doug. I love you. I'm glad I got to come down to Long Beach and see you and Phil. And you've meant a lot to me in my life, and you're the best.
Now, you really have become tremendous in your job with the Dodgers. You do terrific work, and I listen to you all the time, and you're the best. You're the best at what you do now. Just like
Doug,
Phil Sweeney is the best at what he does.
Exactly right. Hey, I just went on Bovada. They just updated the odds. They believe that the odds are 5-1 that you'll make it past 80.
Oh, God, I can't even imagine. I can't believe it. I say 75. I'll be at 24-hour fitness, and I'll say 75 to somebody next to me. You got to be kidding me. You don't look a day over 71, they say. That's a real cop. No, I'm kidding you. They don't say that.
We'll do this again, Doug, during spring training when I'm doing some of those shows from Arizona. We'll have you on again because I know everybody in L.A. loves hearing your voice and obviously remembers the impact that you had on the L.A. sports scene. It's just not the same without guys like you writing about it.
Well, I had a lot of fun here, and I tell you, the Dodger fans should be happy they have a team that competitive that gets into the World Series, that wins playoff games. And the World Series, you know, their time will come, believe me. What about the 77-78 Dodgers? They finally won in 81, and, of course, they won in 88. It's hard. It's not easy, you know.
You're right. It's been 31 years. That's how hard it's been.
Well, what about the Red Sox? They didn't win from, 1916 all the way up to, or 1918 all the way up to 2004, you know.
It's not that long, Doug.
I don't think it will be.
No,
I think the Dodgers
are
a pretty good team, and I predict that Kershaw's going to come back and learn to live. You know, he's going to be a better pitcher this year if he stays healthy. He's still a pretty good pitcher, believe me.
We got to go really quick, Doug, but certainly, I know you've always said this, you don't bet against guys like Kershaw.
No, you don't. He's terrific. But look, I've been a lifelong Los Angeles, San Francisco Giant fan. I've seen enough of Kershaw how good he can be. He's still very good. Even in the game he lost in game five, he gave up five runs, but for about four or five innings, he was terrific. You know, look at the guys that hit the home run against J.D. Martinez
Mookie Betts.
Well, they were due. Well, they were just due. You know, that happens.
We're due, too. The show's over, Doug. I got to go.
I love you, David. Bye-bye. Thanks.
There he goes. Doug Krikorian, the best.